Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Nice to see so many of you out after Thanksgiving. It seems that you all survived the celebration. And there are many that are traveling, so let's remember to keep those in prayer that are traveling and we're able to go to different areas to celebrate with their family. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and this is the Sunday, as you can see on your bulletin, where you light the candle of hope, and there is always hope in and through Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. When we speak of Advent, we speak of the great anticipation, the expectation of Christ Jesus to come. And obviously, in what we look at is the Christmas story in the Gospels, there was a great expectation for this Christ child, no doubt about it. But we now know, as Brother Mark has shared with us, that that expectation has come and it has been fulfilled. And we know that he served for 3+ years in ministry upon this earth to encourage us. And that yet he went to the cross of Golgotha and that he laid his life down in behalf of each and every one of us. And that he gave his life. He was crucified, dead, and buried. And he's resurrected. God brought him in reality back. And he now sits at the right hand of God the Father to sit as our advocate, to look over us, to encourage us, in all honesty, to take the heat for us. But now we are living in the expectation of him coming back. And we always live in that day. And as I've shared with you just a few weeks ago, I remember that dealing with this in seminary, that there were those great missionaries that would always pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But then they would also say, but yet wait one more day. Because it was their earnest desire that one more soul may hear the gospel. One more may receive. So we live in that expectation of excitement that yes, Christ Jesus will come back and he will receive his children. But we also say, Lord, continue your patience. Because there's many that need to hear. But that being said, being the first Sunday of Advent, we are going to read from the Gospel of Mark. This is a church calendar text. I didn't pick it because of the days we're in. It is actually a church calendar text. And so we're going to read from the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to read from chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 24 through 37. If you're willing and able, I'd ask that you arise for the reading of a gospel text. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and power. And then he will send out his angels to gather the elect from all four winds, from all the ends of the earth and of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branches come tender and puts out leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say unto you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or in the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Amen. Please be seated. Father, this is your word that is before us. We don't claim to have any specific insight. We don't claim, Father, a dominance over the Scripture, but rather, Father, the Scripture speaks in our behalf. We ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would sanctify us and that you would sanctify us in this truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This is a text that can bring a lot of mystery. There's probably a lot of debate over it. I don't claim to have a greater insight than anybody else. In fact, to tell you the truth, there are those that are theologians that have a lot more ability to actually come across this text in a powerful way to bring out to you exactly what it means. But yet, just because a person feels inadequate does not mean that we should ignore a text, because then we have a habit of preaching, say, our hobby horses, those things we are comfortable with. But we rely all the more on the Holy Spirit to encourage us and to strengthen us and to allow His word to speak and men in flesh to be silent. This is a very interesting time. Disciples are following Christ, and they really are impressed with what religion has to offer. They really can see, as far as, like, if you were to look out in the common day of their time, you'd have those religious zealots. They would have the high seats. They would wear some long robes. They would have a lot of garb that would really make them look impressive. There's no doubt about it. And when you saw these individuals, you probably came to a thought in your mind of, they are very holy. They're very much above my stature. But that's not the impressive thing. I love how even when they are seeking for a king, the children of Israel are seeking for a king, and Jesse's children are all brought, you know, before Samuel. And they turn around and they're looking at who is going to be anointed the king, but they don't bring David. And there's many times that when someone is brought forward, you think, well, this one looks like a kingly sort. But God says, you look on the outward, but I look on the inward. A lot of times we have a tendency to look on the outward. But God knows the inward. And God knows exactly what's going on in our lives and in people's lives. And He's not distant from us. He actually, if I could make a very carnal term, He's invested in us. They're coming out of the temple. And this understanding of the might of religion, or the understanding of this facade of power, is shown right away. The beginning of this chapter, this book is basically broken in two parts. The beginning of this chapter, the disciples look to Him and say, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. They're looking at the temple. These things are massive. These stones, it's actually amazing that they could actually put them in place. They're so massive. But the point being is, Jesus looks at him and He says, do you see all these buildings? Do you see actually all of what's going on here? He says, there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. This is a very bold claim. They're walking outside of the temple. That represents to them God being present with them. And they're walking out and they're looking at this massive structure. And they're like, look at how impressive this is. Look what we've done. You can almost hear the words. Look what we've done for God. Have we ever been caught up in that? I have. But the fact of it is, Jesus is patient with them, and He says, you're looking at the wrong thing here. He says, in fact, look at this building. I'm telling you, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. That's unthinkable. That's heresy. According to their thoughts, it's shocking news. It's so shocking that when they get to the Mount of Olives and they sit down and have discussion, the first question that they ask is, tell us. Tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign when these things are going to take place? When this temple will be destroyed? Because wouldn't we want to know? Wouldn't we want to know so that we don't have to be there? In fact, in Jesus' description, He makes it sound like when this takes place, it'd be better off that you weren't there. When will these things be? And the instruction that He gives them is, you need to pay attention. Don't let people lead you astray. Don't do it. Because there will be many that are going to come and say, I am Him. I am the great one, whatever it may be. And there were. He says, so be on your guard. And then I think which is most important, which people don't seem to grasp all the time, especially when we come to end times theologies, right? Eschatology. When we come to those end times theories, we have a tendency to focus so much on the end time and when it's going to take place that we actually lose the instruction that we have been given by Christ Jesus himself. He says, don't be deceived. There's going to be many false prophets. There's going to be many things going on in your life. He says, but you know what? The gospel must first be preached in all nations. That's in verse 10. After he tells them about all this. So it seems that there's an importance here. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of garbage going on. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening that you don't understand. It's going to seem so dire. It's going to be so bad. But he says, you know what? Preach the gospel. In fact, when he comes down to his point after the resurrection and he's going, if we could say, to sit on the Heavenly Father's side, his instruction to each and every one of us is to go in the uttermost parts of the earth and preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. The gospel needs to be proclaimed to all nations. Then he goes on to tell us, he says, but after those days, after that tribulation, after you've gone through all this destruction, after you've gone through all this tough times, he says, you know what? It's going to get worse. As far as the human beings can understand, it's going to get worse. He says, because after the tribulation, he says, the sun will be darkened. He says, and the moon will not give off its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And there's a purpose for all this. It sounds very, very ominous, which it is. It's very powerful. But what this text really talks about, the opening of our text really talks about, is when God makes himself present, the whole earth, the whole universe is awake. There is effects that take place. That's even what Mark was reading to you from Isaiah, that when God is known and when God is come present, even to a mountaintop, the whole earth shakes. Because this is a powerful moment. He says, so when you see these things going on, he says, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. He says, because after you see all this going on and all this shaking, all this stuff going on, he says, you're going to look up. He says, and you're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power. You're going to see him in his kingly estate. He says, and really he will send out his angels and he will gather his elect in the four winds. In other words, each corner of the earth. This to me is another beautiful thing. Our God is inclusive. He's extremely inclusive. It doesn't say from one corner. Doesn't say that he's going to gather his elect from one part of this world. He says from all parts of the world. Because he is the Father of all. He will send out his angels, his messengers, whatever it may be, to gather the elect from all the corners of the earth. He says from all ends of the earth, even of heaven, that we will all come together. He says, you guys understand this stuff if you'd stop for a minute. If you'd think about it. We don't have fig trees around here, I know that. Maybe we do, I just don't. I've never seen one, you know. But we have trees, don't we? We got a lot of trees. And the fact of it is that when we go through our seasons, we could definitely tell what the seasons are going, how they're going according to our trees. It's a great example that Jesus uses for us. I mean, come on, how many of us are like, oh, did you see the colors this year? They came so early. I can't believe it. I was driving out to Chassel and looking up on the mountains over there, the hills, and you know what? There's a lot of red and yellow starting to come out. Winter's coming. We pay attention, don't we? We turn around and we observe what God has given us, and we understand that there are certain things that will take place when certain things happen. And so instantly we start saying, well, we better get our last vacation in, shouldn't we? We better get one more road trip before winter comes. And then we got to get our family pictures. For some reason, we can only take family pictures with reds and browns and greens, and I mean reds, browns, and yellows. What about green? But then we know what happens next, right? After the leaves turn so pretty, they fall off. And then we got to start raking them up in a pile so your granddaughters can jump in them. But we know what's coming next, don't we? Winter. And what do? Winter's coming, and we get the shovels out. We put our plows on our trucks. We make sure maybe the ukkity's running right. We get our blower on a tractor, which I just did. We prepare, don't we? We prepare for these things. We do this with everyday situations in our lives. And Jesus is saying, don't be surprised. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time when you are going to see the signs around you. And don't be afraid. Are we afraid of the winter? Maybe we don't like it, if we were to be honest. Sometimes it just, we're not afraid of it. If we were truly afraid of it, we'd move. But he says, don't be afraid. Because he's sharing this with you. We are able, as human beings, God gifted us with the understanding of we watch for seasons. We watch what goes on so we can prepare for it. It is no different in your Christian walk. It is no different in your Christian walk. Are there goofy times around us? Sure. And do they make us have some unrest? At times, for sure. But are we afraid? I hope not. I hope we know to prepare. To prepare. And how do we prepare? We might be facing the most interesting circumstances in our life. And we sit there, because this pastor is up here talking, we sit there and we think only about what's on the news. That's not even what I'm talking about. I see young. I see middle-aged. And I see the other crowd. I'm not going to pick on anybody. If you're blessed enough to be the other crowd, then God is blessing us all with preparation time. That we know that there are steps that we take in our life to be ready. Do you know that's what the Gospel of Mark is all about? It's not about figuring everything out and trying to figure out exactly when everything's going to happen. It's about being awake. It's about being prepared. It's about being ready. And how we as Christians are awake, prepared, and ready is to be filled by the power of the Holy Spirit through the power of His Word, to be encouraged that no matter what may be taking place in our life, whether it is cancer, whether it is heart disease, whether it is some virus, whether it is financial destitute, God is there for us. We are encouraged that He watches over us. He says, you see the signs around you, but do you prepare? Are you being filled? And what are you being filled with? The interesting thing about Jesus when He talks, when He shares these kinds of messages, people are always trying to define, okay, He talks about the destruction of the temple, verses 1 through 23. We can see that plain as day. And then He goes now more towards the consummation of time, the end of the earth, if we could say, the second coming, you know, the advent that we look for. So He switches to that about verse 24 all the way through 37. But then He throws something in there that really kind of puts a little in it, and people don't know what to do with it. He says, I'm telling you, this generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. Now we don't know what to do. Now we become overwhelmed. But I think Jesus, His word is a living word. See, I've made that statement to you a few times, that we do not worship a historical Christ. We worship in reality a living God who is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the triune God, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon this earth, right? We worship that. But he is found in this word, right here. This is where he is found, by revelation, through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not a dead word. It's not a historic word. It has history in it, and it has future. When Jesus speaks, I believe he speaks to all generations, very powerfully. He speaks to all generations. And I think it can have a lot of impact on the things to come for them, but also it's not lost because it speaks to us. So when he turns around and he talks like this, he says, you understand that this thing, this is going to happen. There is going to be a darkness over the moon. The sky, stars are going to start to fall out of the sky. The earth is going to shake. The ground's going to tremble. Don't even think this didn't happen in 70 AD. The destruction of the temple was probably one of the greatest moments in history of that time. The most destructive. Their world was turned upside down. But it doesn't mean there isn't a consummation to come either, that we aren't going to have to see that, or a generation in this earth isn't going to have to see that. It doesn't just lose its point for a moment. This is a living word. So I believe very strongly they experienced this. Because 40 years later, after he writes this, it took place. Who would ever think of that? You think that the destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of a temple that was so massive, it didn't make noise. It didn't make dust. It didn't feel like the earth was coming to an end. No disrespect, none at all. Look at the Twin Towers. To New York, it felt like the earth was coming to an end. People were scared. He says, but don't worry, because God is there. He's going to send out his angels. He's not going to leave you alone, because he knows who is his, and he will gather them up. This very strongly speaks, I believe, of 70 AD, and I think it still speaks to us in our time of need. He says, listen, you guys know better. Learn the lesson from the fig tree. You know that when the branches become tender and it starts putting out leaves, you know summer is near. He says, so also when you see these things taking place, when you see confusion, when you see destruction, when you see anarchy, you know what's coming. Be prepared. Be prepared. He says, because I'm going to promise you one thing. Everything else can pass away. This earth can fade from vision. But what Jesus says here is actually a God thing. My word will never pass away. Who else but God could make that statement? We talk about Trinity. There's another great example of it. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. His words are life. He says, concerning the day or hour, he says, no one knows. He says, nobody knows. He says that the angels of heaven don't know. We have people all the time trying to predict this. We have people writing books about this, which is whatever. But when we get so caught up on trying to figure all that stuff out, we lose sight of the end may be here today for me. Am I ready? Do I know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do I know him as my redemptive work? Do I know him as the grace that I need? We can be so focused upon writing books, preaching theologies, preaching understandings to scare people into getting into churches and joining our groups that we can lose sight of the fact of the end may come for someone today. We even talk about when we deal with the issues in our world, 280,000 in America gone. Were they ready? That is the ultimate question. Were they ready? And we as a congregation, we as a united church throughout this world, have we preached the love of God, the gospel of truth enough that they may have heard, that they may have known? Are we too busy focusing on other things? Nobody knows. And this is cool. He says, not even I, not even the Son. Because he emptied himself of that Godhead privilege. He submitted to the death of the cross for us. So then his point is what? Write books? Believe every conspiracy theory? Get all worked up when you hear rumblings? Actually, in the previous part of the chapter, he said you will hear all this stuff. You hear wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff. That doesn't change anything. Because the end is not yet. Do you know when the end is? When God says it is. That's it. Not when Tim LaHaye or anyone else say it is. The end of the earth has been predicted so many times, it's like pin the tail on the donkey, I tell you. And I don't know if you realize this or not. And if you don't realize it, I'm sorry to have to break the news to you. It hasn't happened yet. But yet, we continue to see individuals do this kind of stuff instead of actually focusing on what he says. He says, we don't know. But verse 33, he says something very important. But be on guard. Pay attention. Pay attention. And stay awake. Be vigilant. Be involved. Be involved with the word. Be involved with its power. Be involved with the communion of the saints. Be involved in reality with God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be involved. Keep awake. He said, because you don't know when he'll come. He may come as a thief in the night, as the scripture even says. He says, it's kind of like this. A man's going on a journey, and he basically leaves you in charge of all his stuff. And you don't know when he's going to come home. I like this description better. Mom and Dad are going out for date night. And they tell you they'll be home sometime this evening. Don't use the stove. Don't play with this or this. Don't start doing anything. Well, the next thing you know, your brothers are baking you cookies because it's your birthday. They're making you eggnog. And you're trying to guzzle it all down because it's your special day. Yes, my brothers did that to me. And Mom and Dad pull in the driveway. And your heart sinks, right? Because you've been up to no good. And you start running around the house to make sure you put everything away. Make sure you cleaned up the stuff and you're washing that blender really quick because you don't want Mom to see that you're using a blender. He says, it's like a man that's going on a journey. And this is all the more serious. He put you in charge of something very powerful, the ministry. He says, and you don't know when he's going to come back. He put you in charge of all of this. And he commanded his workers and the doorkeeper to stay awake. Be vigilant because the time is important. He says, therefore, stay awake. He says, for you do not know when the master will come. When will he come? When he feels like it. But am I alert? Do I know him? Am I busy doing his work? Am I encouraged by the power of his Spirit to not allow the world to overtake me with fear and grip me in terror? He says, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows, you don't know when he's going to come. And then all of a sudden, suddenly he comes, and what if he finds you asleep? He says, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't get worked up over everything else. Don't allow that to make you drowsy, to make you weary. Stay awake. Trust in God. He's going to come again. He's going to come again, as he has promised. But the interesting thing is, we don't know when. Is it going to be corporately or individually? Either way, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you. and let us be ready. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer.